What's up, Set Apart Women? I'm your host, Jamie Lynn Walnow, and I'm so excited that you're here with us today. We just finished this week's episode with Jasmine Wheeler. She shares her testimony about creativity, what God did through her obedience every day, whether she thought she could do it or not. God was faithful to show up through her, and now she's built with the Lord, Axel Creative, and we want you to be a part of it. So join us today and take a listen to see how you can be part of Axel Creative as a Set Apart Woman. Welcome back to Set Apart Women Podcast, where we demolish the lukewarm living and follow Jesus with all that we have. Welcome, ladies. We are so glad that you've tuned in to Set Apart Women. Hello, my name is Laura Allred, and I'm with A Million Women. You can go to amillionwomen.org to find out about this once-in-a-lifetime movement this fall, October 12th, 2024, in Washington, D.C. We are believing and calling for a million Esthers from around the nation to meet us on the mall on October 12th to believe that America is going to turn back to God. So make plans to be there. Have your feet on the mall. Invite your friends, all the Esthers around the nation. Meet us for A Million Women. Go to amillionwomen.org to register today. Enjoy the episode. What's up, Set Apart Women? I'm so excited about our guest today. My friend Jasmine Wheeler, who is also officially one of my pastors at Mercy Culture. Pastor Jasmine had to do it. But listen, she is an incredible songwriter, worship leader. She gathers creatives from all over the world. And so many of you are sitting there and you are so creative and you're like, what do I do? And we have a solution for you. Jasmine is a solution-filled woman. She doesn't sit back and complain. She creates solutions from the Lord on the earth so that we can all take part in what God's wanting to do on the earth. And then another thing is she's like legit. I mean everything I'm saying. She's legit one of my favorite preachers. She is incredibly knowledgeable in God's word, and she just has a heart to bring truth so that the body of Christ can live whole and healthy. So I love it. It hurts so good when she preaches. You know, I'm always like, ooh, that hurts so good. So without further ado, what's up, girl?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, it's an honor. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Okay, so I want to dive into this because I want to get all that we can from you for creatives in this hour. So you have founded Axel Creative. Mm-hmm. Will you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Axel Creative Co. is it's a collective of creatives from all over the world now, which is really cool. But the whole point of Axel is to equip and empower sons and daughters to advance the kingdom through their creative expression. And so we're going on 10 years, I think, since the Lord gave the vision and we've been stewarding it. It's been fun. It's like one of my greatest joys right now is to get to build Axel Creative Co.
That's amazing. So it started somewhere though.
Yeah.
So let's rewind and tell us a little bit about you and how this came about, whatever you feel like sharing.
For sure. So I grew up in a huge church in Ohio. And super long story short, I just had a lot of favor in this church. So I was this little girl and I was getting pulled up all the time to share things, to pray for people, to speak, do things, not preach, but like little moments, you know, little exhortation moments. And at some point in time, people started coming and building relationships with me. And I could feel that they were wanting to build with me to almost climb the social ladder in ministry. Yeah. I had to try to like get to the pastors, get in and stuff. And I was like, just put a bad taste in my mouth for influence in general. And I was like, man, I don't want anything to do with this game. I don't want to be weird towards people because of influence. I don't like it. And so God really was doing a lot in my heart during that time about influence and all that. And one day I was at a store with some friends and we were looking at the tabloids, little magazines that want to steal your money before you actually buy the things that you came to buy, you know, with the candy and stuff. And I was looking at the tabloids and it was an article about Lindsay Lohan. And I think her parents had just gotten a divorce, something like that had just happened. And some of my friends started laughing at her and they were like, haha, like she's always got drama. She's got stuff going on. And I remember being like this, like righteous indignation hit me. And I'm like, well, would you be laughing if that was one of us? And they were all like, chill. Like, you know, I just got super intense out of nowhere. And it was because the Lord had begun to give me this heart for people of influence. And I realized that the thing that I experienced in the church that I grew up in was like minimal compared to what people of influence experience every day. And so I'm like, man, these people can't even go to the store and just have a normal life, all these things. And so while my friends were weeping about like little kids in Africa and like just like going into the nations and missions and all that stuff, I was weeping over Lindsay Lohan and 50 Cent and Lady Gaga and people like that. And Lord, just, he just gave me a heart for people in that industry. And along the way, I was like, I'm going to work in corporate America. I'm going to work for like a TV network or music record label, something like that, radio station. And I started getting all these prophetic words about doing music. And it was, I mean, literally just nonstop. The summer between my freshman year of college, my senior year of high school, just got tons of prophetic words about doing music. I didn't sing. I didn't play an instrument. I didn't want to be on a stage at all because of the things that I had experienced in the church I grew up in. And basically, you know, there's tons of moments, tons of prophetic history here. But there was this moment where I went to one of my mentors' house and I'm weeping. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I keep getting these words about doing music. And she says, Jasmine, God's trying to invite you into part of your destiny. She says, you can either say yes to God and he'll show you how to do it, or you say no and he's going to use somebody else to do it, but you need to make up your mind. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That's like a little Esther moment.
Yeah,
I mean, like your life wasn't on the line, but like, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
right. Lower he'll use stakes somebody, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But he'll use somebody else.
Yeah. And she just gave it to me real plain like that. And so I said yes to the Lord a few weeks after that. Lord began to teach me how to play the guitar supernaturally in my dorm room. My roommate walked in and was like, you play the guitar? And I was like, I don't know what's happening. And then he began to give me songs. And they started off as worship songs. And then he started giving me these songs that I realized weren't corporate worship songs. I didn't know what to do with them. And I'm like, clearly this can't be from the Lord because they're not K-Love songs. They're not like church songs. You can't sing these in worship. You're not going to hear them on Christian radio. They're not going to be an offering special. I don't even know if people know about offering specials, but I do. And but they're not going to be any of those things. And so I was like, what do I do with these songs? And are they really from the Lord? And so I started inquiring of the Lord about it. And he said, yeah, these are from me. And I want you to go play them at an open mic on your college campus. So I went to a D1 college campus in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and literally went and I felt like I was laying down my life because I didn't feel like I was good at singing, didn't feel like I was that good with the guitar yet, and didn't know if I was good at writing songs yet. And I went and played at this open mic, closed my eyes while I was singing the song because I was scared out of my mind. And when I opened my eyes, a bunch of the people in the room were weeping. And I thought, man, I must have been really bad. So I'm just going to get off the stage because they're all crying. So I got off the stage and these girls came over to me and they were weeping. And they said, when you were playing, we felt chill bumps and things happening. And that's, what was that? And it dawned on me, they were having an encounter with the Holy Spirit. But I didn't do an altar call. I wasn't singing a worship song and I wasn't in a church. I was in a coffee shop. And so it was this major paradigm shift where I was like, why didn't anybody tell me that God would meet people through music, through songs, through creativity outside of the four walls of the church? I didn't know it was even an option. And so I got some friends and we just started going to every open mic, every dark place that would let me sing songs that we could think of and we could figure out. And we would just say, okay, if we live a set apart life, if we live a consecrated life before the Lord, we sing the songs that the Lord has given, would the Lord actually show up and touch people in these places, even though it's not a church? Like, is this real? And everywhere we went, he did. And people started getting saved and prophetic words, words of knowledge, healings were breaking out. All these things are happening in bars and coffee shops and just dark places in Pittsburgh. And that was the beginning of my journey as a, what I would call a kingdom creative. And it gave me this passion for other kingdom creatives, other people who feel called to the arts and entertainment industry, maybe to celebrities that maybe thought all their gift was good for was like on a Sunday morning expression of worship.
Right.
And that's awesome. And I do that too. But the Lord quickly taught me that's not the only place that he's given us to be in, to take authority that he's given us into. And so that kind of started the journey of Axel. I felt like the Lord made me the message and like taught me the space before he kind of commissioned me to release the message to other people and help equip other people to do the same thing.
I love that. You know, it's like one of those things where you can feel a difference when somebody's like a motivational speaker and they know what they're saying, but they haven't lived what they're saying yet. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Versus the person who's like, and that's not every motivational speaker or like a preacher who's preaching concepts, but maybe there's not an anointing on it, right?
Yeah.
But there's something so special about that season of like dying to yourself,
yep.
Learning to obey God in the tiny ways.
Yep.
And then like now you have Axel Creative, which I can't wait for everyone to hear about that. But in that time where you're like, okay, I'm going to step out, I'm going to sing this music. How often and what did you do if it happened? Did you wrestle with like, I'm just going to quit. Maybe I should stop. Like, what was the wrestle like for you in the season of stepping out and like singing? Yeah.
Well, I think, I don't know. My journey was unique in the singing part because like I said, I didn't start. Like I know so many singers who they go into music and that's their dream. Like that's what they really want more than anything. And so they're practicing all the time and whatever. And that I just had a different journey. Like I didn't want to do music. I didn't want to be on a stage. I didn't want to be playing the guitar. To this day, I'm still like, I can't believe I'm doing this
that's
all
awesome.
The time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I had days for sure where I was discouraged and wanted to give up because I honestly didn't feel like I was good enough to be in that space. But the Lord was giving me so much favor in that realm. And it just goes to show you sometimes our insecurities and our ideas of where we should be versus where we are can sometimes get in the way of what God actually wants to do. And so I thought, if I'm going to do this, I need to be the best. I need to be X, Y, and Z. And the Lord was like, no, I'm going to use exactly what I've put in your hands. And I'm going to anoint it and I'm going to make it multiply, you know? And so I was going with my couple chords and the couple simple songs the Lord had given me, and he would just come and people would be like, I want to buy your album. Where is this stuff? You know, I dropped my first EP around that time and it went to number 7 on the singer-songwriter charts on iTunes. And I was like, who's buying this? Like, who's listening to this album? But I know it was the Lord, like, just breathing on it. Like, I don't need you to be good. I need you to obey, and I'll breathe on it if you obey.
Yeah. That reminds me of this moment. I love that you're sharing this. I used to paint full time, and there's this moment, I'm self-taught, and by that I mean like the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and it was one of those things where God was like, no, this is what I have for you. If you don't do it, I'll find someone else kind of thing, you know? And it taught me, first of all, the fruit of it is like, it taught me how to prophetically hear for other people, to do it. Prophetic art for people. But I remember there's this one night and I was done. I was like crying to my mom in the car and I was like, it looks like a 5-year-old. Every time I do a painting, it just looks not even good and blah, blah. And then there's this really profound artist who was struggling with jealousy and was really mean to me about like, why are you doing this? You know, like, and everything's good. We had amazing conversations. We're good now. But like, it was one of those things where it was just all the things coming in, you know? And then I got a call that night. Like that was the night. This was like a very prolific night for me and all creativity, that anything that I would ever be creative in.
Yeah.
And this guy, Bob, he's over at Inner Healing at Upper Room in Dallas. And he calls me and he's like, I had this big Jesus piece. A lot of my artwork hung at the original like Upper Room building. And there's this big Jesus piece. And he said, hey, I was in this session with this woman. She's never been able to connect with the Lord, like never been able to connect with the man Jesus. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit told me to go get your Jesus piece and bring it into the session. And she began to weep and like gave her life to the Lord and connecting. He said, I just want to encourage you. This is the night I am like in distress. Like, no, I'm done. This is embarrassing. I'm not even good enough. Me. I.
Yes.
And right then something broke off me. I started ugly crying over the phone. He was like, are you okay? And I was like, you have no idea what you just did. And I went and I repented and I realized this gift isn't even about how good I think I am. It's about obedience to God because this isn't about me. It's about the one that God has to come taste and see him through it.
Right.
And I definitely wasn't trying to make it about me, but I was making it about me by not being enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So, cause I didn't have this dream of being like the world's best artist or like, I want to be in a Bible museum. You know, I just wanted to be faithful. So everything I do now, like whether it's this podcast or something, it made me realize as a creative, it's just about obeying.
That's right.
Because there's fruit and you may never hear the fruit. That's what's crazy.
Yep.
So even for you, one of the things that I thought was cool when you were sharing your story was how people were being ministered to. It wasn't like you're the best singer in the world.
No.
Like that's not what drove you.
No one ever said that.
No, but like people came to you and they were telling you like emotionally something was shifting in them.
Yeah.
So that kept you, did that keep you going or did you ever have to battle like pride or anything coming up when people would come up to you? Like,
yeah. I mean, I think we can get into a whole nother tangent about this, honestly, but I think the biggest pride spot or the thing in that realm that I really have had to continue to submit to the Lord and was huge during that time was like the things that would happen through the music. I never had pride in my voice because of
wasn't that
good or anything, you know? it was the pride of what God would do. It's funny, you know, because it's God doing it, but it was the pride of what would happen through the music, like the impact of it. And so people get healed or things like that. And you start to think you had something to do with it a little bit, you know,
yeah.
Like not my talent, but like just me in general. And so I would have to submit that to the Lord. It's really easy, especially in charismatic, you know, realms where we believe in supernatural and all that stuff, to get just more fixated on the hand of God than the face of God.
Right.
And I think that was a season of life for sure when I started, where I got really blown away by the hand of God. And I started taking...
What does that mean?
Like his works, what he can do, supernatural miracles that God can do and that he does.
Yeah.
And so I got more, I just got excited about like, oh, there's healing and gold dust and blah, 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 all this stuff, you know? And these moments where the Lord would just reel me in and be like, hey, like, can me and you just talk? Are you like satisfied if I just come, but maybe if I do nothing, like... Yeah. Are you just happy that my presence came into the room and that you knew that I came? And so that was a big journey for me and the Lord just through that, the whole process. But yeah, I never struggled with pride regarding my voice because I always had so much, and I guess it's a flip
that's
extreme of pride of the insecurity.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
How I felt about my art. I was like, I'm definitely not prideful about how good this looks right now. But somehow it's anointed and I don't get that.
He's doing something with it for sure.
That's awesome. Okay, so now you fast forward. How did Axel happen?
Yeah, well,
we're getting there, people. I just want y'all to know Axel's like, I've been to the intensives. There's one this year. We're going to tell you about it. But like, I've never seen anything like it. So I'm really pumped for you to set us up for this.
I love it. Well, I think a big part of it was that journey, you know, of me just getting the revelation through the Holy Spirit, through that whole encounter of like, oh, like there's so much more that God wants to do in the earth through creativity, through creatives and all that stuff. And so I went on my own journey. I went on tour not too long after that. The Lord gave me this strategy. We went on tour, took about 10 people on the road, and we stayed in every city for 7 to 10 days. We went to 10 different cities between Philly and LA, and just God gave us a kingdom strategy on how to do it. It was beautiful. But the whole tour was like an internship, if you will. And so there was artists, creatives on the road that were hungry to figure out, how do I use my creativity to advance the kingdom? Like, what does this look like outside of just the four walls of church on a Sunday morning alone? Because there's 6 more days in the week. So what else are we doing with these gifts, you know?
Yeah.
And so I would teach during the day of just equipping, giving away the things that the Lord had taught me over those past few years. And then at night, we would go into dark places and do shows together, and they get to see it, you know, in real life. And so that really got me excited about equipping people and just made me realize there's so many people who are called to this, but they don't know how to do it.
Right.
They don't know what to do. Or on the flip side, there are people who they're doing it. They're out in the industry. They're super successful. But maybe they get saved, become a Christian, start following Jesus. And they don't know how to live out their gift, the thing that God has given them, the influence that they have as a believer. Like, what do you do?
Right.
I think in the minds of a lot of believers, you would say, well, you probably just need to leave what you're doing and come to church and like sing at church, you know?
That's the old wineskin, y'all.
Yeah, exactly. But if you have if DJ Khaled gets saved, DJ Khaled needs to be equipped on how to live, to do the things that he's called to do as a believer, as a son, you know?
And so, I can totally go off on a tangent here. We won't. But like, that will take time. When people in Hollywood get saved, can we just like, being a set apart woman is not about being judgmental and critical. Like, you celebrate and celebrate every little thing you see. And when you see a little slip up, you just keep praying for them and cheering them on, because it is not going
to
be like ripping a Band-Aid off. It wasn't for any of us.
That's right.
You know, anyway, sorry.
It just so happens that their journey is very public.
Yes.
So we feel permission to scrutinize it more because we're looking at every detail.
Right.
But if our lives were put on display in our journey.
Yep. I'm so grateful for God's timing. Let me just say that right now.
Right. Right. And so, yeah, it was just that tour internship, all the training that happened through that was huge. And then while I was recording the album for that tour, I was at our producer, me and some friends stayed with the producer and his family, just kind of spent time with them. And while I was there, I had an encounter with the Lord. I was in my daily personal encounter one morning and spending time with Jesus. And I had a vision of this blueprint. And if I could just back up for a second, right before I went to record, a few weeks before that, this is in 2014, I had this moment spending time with the Lord again one morning, and I heard the Lord say, "It's like an arts label." And I was like, "What's like an arts label?" Because I hadn't asked him any questions. So I was like, "What are you talking about?" And I went into a meeting right after that with my pastor at the time. And while we're meeting, he says, "Hey, I got this prophetic word for you. Can I submit this word to you?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he says, "This is really random, but the Lord told me to tell you that he's about to give you an apostolic blueprint for a creatives movement in the earth. And it's going to be like an arts label." And I was like, "Whoa."
That's amazing.
Just heard this phrase a few minutes ago with the Lord and didn't know what it was, you know. Right. And so I wrote it all down. And then now fast forward, I'm at the producer's house with my friends. We're working on the next album. And I have this encounter in the bedroom that I was in. And I saw blueprint drawn out on the wall in neon blue ink. I've never had an encounter like that since or before that moment. Wow. And I just pulled out my journal and started drawing out what the Lord showed me. And it was the kind of thing where as I was drawing it out, I knew this is way bigger than me. There's no way I can do this by myself. And I have no idea how long this is going to take to happen. Like, it's huge, you know? And so drew it out and I immediately began to submit it to like, just bring it to mentors and intercessors in my life, my pastor at the time, all the things. And just like, "Can you guys pray with me into this? I don't know how to accomplish this." And so the last, like I said, going on 10 years has been a journey of stewarding the blueprint that the Lord gave me that day in that studio.
When he gave you the blueprint, was it like for what's to come or was it like for right now in that moment?
It was for what was to come. Okay. So in that moment, we were already living it out because that tour happened.
Yeah.
And so we were like in it, but it wasn't the fullness of it by any means.
Right.
And so it was more of like, this is what this is all unto.
Yeah.
This is what you're about to build. And it was one of those moments where you just feel really small.
Right.
And I was like, I have no idea how this is going to happen at all. I don't know the people. I don't have the resources. I know none of that. And so it's really wild to look back, you know, 10 years down the road or whatever, like to look back thinking about where I was then and to think about all the people that God has connected me with now and all the resources and just everything that's coming to fruition now. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing. Okay, so talking about connecting with the people, with the resources, oftentimes people get these blueprints and it is like, it does feel so huge and we do feel so small, which is healthy because if you're turned to the Lord, you're like, "Well, this is a God thing. Yes. Must be God. Crazy. Must be God," you know? But how did you know what to do moving forward? Like, was it through your daily personal encounter with God, like step by step? And then now you're here, which we're literally about to share with you guys. But like, what did that look like knowing, okay, I can't do this blueprint tomorrow, but what I can do, like, does this make sense?
Right. Yeah. I think it's twofold. I think it was hearing the Lord giving me instructions through my own daily personal encounters with the Lord. But then it was also hearing God through other people, through mentors, through friendships, people that were walking with me that could give me wisdom and ideas. I think it's really important to remember that when God gives you vision, he rarely gives you the entire vision or gives you all of the information of how it's going to happen because we would get really prideful and this weird independent thing going on if we thought we had it all. I don't think he does that. Yeah. You look all throughout the Word of God, you know, he's always setting it up to where it's God speaking, but then it's also someone else coming in, prophets coming in and speaking, or wise counsel coming in and giving advice. Happened with Moses. Moses is kicking butt, doing all the things, and Jethro, his father-in-law, comes in and is like, "Hey, let me just help you. You don't know everything. Like, you're not really doing a great job building this team. This is going to kill you if you keep doing it like this," and gives him wisdom on how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I love that God speaks, but then he also brings people to give the practical wisdom that we need as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's been my journey. It's been both.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us about today, Axel, today. Yeah.
So today, we're based here in Fort Worth, Texas.
Whoop, whoop.
And the main focus of Axel right now is something we call the Creatives Intensives. And so the Creatives Intensive is a three-day experience where we bring in creatives from all over the world. It's really a focus on equipping and empowering sons and daughters to advance the kingdom through what they do. The whole thing is a lot of creatives, you can go on YouTube and figure out how to do your craft. There's schools that teach you how to be super excellent in everything you do. But there's not a lot of places where you can go and be equipped on a heart level, on the character, on the culture that you live in, you know, how you engage with the culture, how you engage with the people in the industry. How do you stand for righteousness and not bow your knee when there's money on the line? Like, uh-huh. what is all of the ins and outs on how we do that as believers is necessary, because if we don't equip people, then they go in and they get eaten up by the industry and they get chewed up and spit out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we've lost a lot of Christian creatives in the industry.
Right.
People that we knew were Christians, you know, as they went in, but now we're like, are they still a Christian?
Right.
Do they follow Jesus? What's the deal? And so we want to equip people so that we don't lose anybody as they are going into their calling in the creative realm.
That's like my greatest passion. Like, I just desire for people to know how liberating holiness is, to have good moral character.
Yes.
And to go
out,
you know, beyond the church, because the harvest is so ripe.
Yes, it is.
And you're multiplying laborers too with what you're doing. Okay, so I have to testify. The first intensive I went to, I showed up. I was so nervous. Like, first of all, look at my personality. Everybody on here knows, okay, what's up? If you've listened to one podcast, I'm not shy.
Right.
I was so nervous because I didn't know anybody. Like, I knew some of y'all when I was coming, but I was just like so nervous. And it was so welcoming, and you guys were just in the details of everything. And what amazed me the most is how the entire time you talked about character. And then we all got to talk about our character together. It was like really vulnerable, and it was never about, like, I don't even know, I couldn't even tell you who I was in the room with. And I like that y'all, that was important to you too, because it was about like connecting eye to eye with people and not like, oh, this person does this and that.
It's huge for us.
Yeah.
And there's people in the room, just for anybody listening, but like, there's people in the room who have millions of followers, or, you know, they're super influential. And then there's people who are just starting in their creative space and nobody really knows the difference.
Yeah.
And we're trying not to make that the focus.
Yeah. And and I love that. And it's probably because of that. When you rewind and you go back to the day where you felt like people were using you to get, I mean, I'm sure many people in ministry have experienced that as well. Like, oh, I'm going to be friends with them so I can get to this person.
Yep.
And so, I mean, that is so beautiful, but you weren't holding on to a fence. You let God create a solution from that place for other people to know how to steward that when it comes to them, or towards, you know, if they're catching themselves wanting to be a little manipulative with a friendship, you know? Okay. So then we go to the second one. The second intensive, and I was serving at this one, and I was in my first trimester. I think I could only come the first night and the second day, like 3/4 of the day, and then we left the country early the next morning. So I didn't get to finish it.
Which, but you're amazing for even showing up with everything you had going on.
You too. You're amazing for all you're doing. But no, it was funny because I was so excited to be there. And the people that we were serving with, oh my goodness, I love serving
amazing
Axel.
People.
It's awesome. But the cool thing was, it was a little different. And like, it was like the intensive 2.0.
Yeah.
But now you have another one coming up this year for people to experience. So please tell the people about the intensive this year.
Yeah. The one coming up in 2024, July 25th to the 27th. And, you know, all of them are the same. We don't technically have a 2.0. It's all the same content, if you will. But the idea is we take feedback every time because we want to keep getting better. We don't want to waste anybody's time. Yeah. We don't want to waste our time. If God's not there, we don't want to be there. So we're like taking feedback from the people who are attending, really taking feedback from the Lord. How can we do this better, Lord? What will be more pleasing to you? Is there anything that needs to be fixed, changed, whatever? And so, July 25th through 27th is the next one. It's a ticketed event, so you can go, you know, to axelcreativeco.com to register. But it's for anybody who feels called to the arts and entertainment realm, or maybe you're just, you're creative, or you're trying to figure out if you're a creative. I think it's a great place to come to meet other creatives, to grow in your identity as just a son, just a daughter, and then also be equipped into the industry and empowered to do the thing that you feel called to do. And so I'm stoked about the next one.
Me too.
Really excited. So yeah.
It's so good. And this is for people too, like you may be watching here on YouTube or you may be listening in your car, whatever you're doing. We love you. What's up? but even if you're behind the scenes, like you,
yes.
You know, every part is crucial.
Makeup artist.
Yes. The, yeah. Everything you could possibly imagine, touching any part, even if you're just passionate about it. I honestly think it's just, you have the spirit of a living God inside you who hovered over the earth when God created all things. And now that's inside you. So you are a creative. So come see.
Can I just give examples too?
Please,
just real quick.
Give examples.
So like there's just of the types of creatives that come, because most people think, oh, if I'm not a singer, songwriter or a musician, then this must not be for me.
Right.
But like there's actors and actresses there. There's screenwriters, filmmakers, dancers. There's a girl who's like, she's like a super influencer on Instagram and TikTok, and she's a gardener. Like she does gardening.
Yeah.
There's a couple there that they have their own gym for Olympic athletes.
Yes.
Which
I'm very excited about.
Yeah, so I just want people to know there's like a lot of different expressions of creativity that are represented in the room. There's architects, people who own architecture firms that are coming. And so just, there's so many different expressions. I don't want people to feel limited or stuck.
Just come.
Know?
If you feel a pull at all, you need to come. Okay, last thing, because we're closing this out. How can people connect with you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at I am Jasmine Janae, J-A-N-A. That's probably the best way to connect with me. But really, connect with Axel. Go to Axel Creative Co. on Instagram, TikTok, any of that. And then go to axelcreativeco.com to register for the event.
You heard it from the woman herself. We love you guys so much. Thank you for being here. You are meant to be creative. We love you guys so much. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you feel empowered to live out your story with God every day in your daily encounter. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And you get up and you go. And don't despise small beginnings. Am I saying
despise.
The word? Despise. I was like, it's not despise. Despise.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Don't despise small beginnings. Like, the beginning is the beginning. Like it's what takes you to the end and to the big blueprint. So keep being faithful and stewarding what God's given you, because he wouldn't have asked you if he didn't think he could do it with you. So we bless you, and we'll see you next week on Set Apart Women.